When we were at the hospital for Elijah's birth, we had a really good labor and delivery nurse named Lois. Lois is a travel nurse, so she goes around to different places throughout the country on short-term contracts. One of the places she was at most recently was Las Vegas. And as we were talking, she found out I was a pastor, and she seemed to be a woman of faith. And she mentioned that when she was in Las Vegas, a lot of people were naming their children Messiah. And she thought that was just a little strange. And thinking about it, I think it's a very pretty name, Messiah. But if you name your child Messiah, it feels like there's a lot of weight that comes with that name, isn't it? I mean, that's a title we use for Jesus. When we say Jesus Christ, Christ is the Greek way of saying Messiah. They're interchangeable. Messiah, Christ. There's a lot of weight that comes with that title. When we think about a Messiah, we think about a person who's going to rescue the world. A person who's going to change how things are done, bring in a new era. You might remember when President Obama was first elected, a lot of people were accusing his supporters as viewing Obama as another Messiah, as a person who's going to bring great change to things. In our passage from Isaiah, this is what we call a messianic text. It's a text that foretells the coming of the Messiah, and it foretells kind of the role and the things that the Messiah will do. This Messiah is going to be the chosen one of God. He's going to usher in a new golden age for the Lord. And Isaiah refers to this Messiah as a servant. He is the servant of the Lord. Isaiah says that he's a servant who's going to bring the Lord's justice on the earth. He's going to bring his teaching, his word to the nations. Isaiah tells us that God and his spirit is going to rest on this Messiah, on this servant, that God is going to be at his side. This Messiah, this servant, is going to set prisoners free. He's going to bring sight to the blind, because he is the light for the world. Now, what's interesting about this servant that Isaiah speaks of is that this servant was originally supposed to be God's chosen people. The Israelites, the people that God selected to be his people, were the ones who God originally called his servant. They were the ones who were supposed to deliver God's justice upon the earth by virtue of their unique relationship to God. They were the ones that God wanted to bring light into the world, bring light into darkness. But if you read anywhere in the Old Testament, you find pretty quickly that they failed. They failed miserably. Not only did they fail, but the prophets, as we've been learning in adult Bible study, accuse them not only of failing, but of doing often the exact opposite of what God called them to do. Instead of bringing justice, they brought war, they brought abuse. Instead of feeding the poor, they exploited them, abused them, and manipulated them for their own benefit, the rich get richer kind of thing. They didn't bring hope, they crushed it. And the word of God that they were supposed to bring to the light of the world, to the nations, at best they forgot it, at worst they corrupted it. And so the bottom line is that the people of God, instead of being light, they spread darkness, because they themselves were in darkness. tonight as we were getting ready and practicing music a little bit and kids were running all over the place, all willy-nilly. It reminded me of when I was in youth group and we would have lock-ins where we'd spend the night at the church. And my favorite part about that was when we would turn off the lights in the church, the entire church, and we would play games like tag or games like Romans and Christians. Basically games where you ran around the entire church in pitch dark blackness. Our church in Mandan is an A-frame church, and the sanctuary is big like this, but it has these great gigantic beams going kind of right on down to the floor. And I swear, every time we played a game like that, someone would be running down the side aisle and crack their head square on one of those beams. Of course, it was never me. I was too graceful and good at those kind of games. But I do remember also at times I would trip downstairs that I forgot they were there, and at one point I had just bloodied up knees from the rubbing my legs on the carpet. And youth group was great. The dark, when you can't see, bad things happen. When you can't see, there are terrors out there in the dark. There are obstacles there. There are things that will pull you down. God's desire was to use His people as light. And that's people everywhere, by the way, just not just the Jews. They were specifically called to be that light to the nations. But this desire that God has is for all people. But the problem is we all fail at what God desires. At some point, we all fail in that simplest but most difficult of commands, to love your neighbor. We each of us walk in darkness. We cannot find our way. We can't be light because we are in darkness. And so into this, God sends His Son. His people couldn't be the light, but His Son will be. And so Jesus comes, and in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus flat out says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus flat out claims to be the servant, the Messiah that Isaiah foretold. He is the one that will do what nobody else could do. He represents the Lord. Because as people who live in darkness, we hear this warning that Christ gives, that unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Or as our translation puts it, if you don't have faith in me for who I am, you will die, and your sins will not be forgiven. Again, our text in these I am statements, they're very exclusive. You can't get around the fact that it all centers in on Jesus for you, Jesus for me. There is no other way. Without Jesus, we are in darkness and we die in our sins. But Jesus comes to be a servant, for you, to open the eyes of the blind, which is you and me, to break us out of the captivity that we are bound to. We are bound to our sin. We are bound to the place of darkness. And so Jesus comes for us. And for those who have faith in Him, faith in the light of the world, the light that went into the deepest and darkest hell for you and I, we are made free. We are brought out of our captivity. We are brought out of darkness and into the marvelous light of Christ. And what's beautiful about that is that as we are saved by the servant of the Lord, we then become his servants on his behalf. If you recall the last baptism we had, we always do that little candle where we give the child a candle, and we quote some verses from Matthew where Jesus says, let your light shine so that others will see the good that you do and will praise your Father in heaven. We do that because Christ, the light of the world, in baptism saves that baby. And then calls that child as they grow throughout life then to be light on behalf of the one who first served the child. You are a servant because the servant, served you. And in closing, I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 2 because this really sums this up so well. Peter says this, you, which is you. You now are God's chosen and special people. And you are this through Jesus Christ, through your faith in Christ. You, all of you, are a group of royal priests. You are a holy nation, which, by the way, is not a nation defined by its borders. God isn't talking through Peter to America. He's not talking even to modern-day Israel. He's talking to the people of faith. You, people of faith, the church, you are a holy nation simply by your faith in Christ. Peter goes on, God has brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then here's the kicker. Because you have been served by the servant, this is what you are called to do. Now you must tell all the wonderful things that he has done for you. In other words, God has made you his servant through the life, work, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the servant for you. Let us pray. Gracious and most holy Father, we give you thanks for bringing us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. Thank you for giving us ears that hear your word and respond to it, eyes that can see you in faith. Strengthen our eyes, strengthen our ears, that we might know you better. And then, O Lord, bless us with our feet and our hands to go out and to do that which you have called us to do, to be light to this world on your behalf. That others might see the work that we do in your name and glorify you. That they too might come out of darkness and into light. We pray this in your name. Amen.